This is the way you partake of the high priestly ministry of Jesus. You don't run from him when you sin, you run to him. He's a merciful high priest, remember that?
The idea that God is mean and angry toward his children is a lie. He is full of grace and mercy. Join Kenneth Copeland today on The Believer's Voice of Victory and learn how easy it is to partake of the high priestly ministry of Jesus.
Let's open our Bibles today again to the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. For as much, 14th verse, then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus also himself likewise took part of the same, so that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now that's the lordship ministry of Jesus. We've talked about that, but now we're majoring today on the high priestly ministry of Jesus and a very specific part of that office. Now, here's the high priestly ministry. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him. Notice, in all things. In all things. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the people. So see, he is a merciful and faithful high priest, but he's standing between God and the people. So for him to be faithful to God, he has to be merciful and faithful to the people. There is no way, there is no possible way, because God cannot lie. There is no way that you can go scripturally and in faith and obey the word of God and request and require of the high priestly ministry of Jesus and for him to refuse. No, that would be unfaithful. Turn over to 1 John now. That would be unfaithful not only to you but to God. And we see right here now in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. Notice the word just. The word translated just there, the word just itself is the older English usage of the word to justify. We get our word justice from it. Justice is the right thing to do. Things are supposed to come out right. If you have justice, it's supposed to come out right. Well, this is used in translation of the word righteousness. And don't let righteousness, the religiousness of that word, don't let it become a religious word, do you think? It's not it's had a religious definition put on it, and people just use it religiously, you know. But it's not a religious word. It's a covenant word. Being made right. It literally means to be reconciled to right standing. Or in other words, your sins have been blotted out, removed. Now, he is what? He is faithful and righteous. Now, you ought to write that in the margin there somewhere. He is not only faithful, but he is righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is not speaking specifically here to the sinner in the world. This is talking about it when born-again Christian people miss it and get off the word. Sin gets into your life somewhere or another. It's speaking specifically about violating the commandment of love. See, if you keep the commandment of love, you got sin covered. If you're well aware of it and you're a good steward of it, it's in your memory all the time. Love covers the multitude of sin. In other words, if you endeavor to keep that, boy, it's going to knock sin in the head. Because sin is born out of fear, and perfected love casteth out fear. So, and this is the process of walking in a sin-free, sinless, fearless life. Right here. That process right there. Partaking of that portion of the high priestly ministry of Jesus. And the way you partake of it, you allow those two words. He is faithful and he's righteous to forgive us and cleanse us. There's two things there. Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When? When we confess it. Now, I like to add here, when we confess it by faith and not by feeling. You can't gauge it by guilt feelings. You can receive your forgiveness and have your spirit totally cleansed of all unrighteousness and still have symptoms of that sin and the guilt from it in your mind and in your body, particularly if it was there in the length of time. This is the reason why when you miss it, dear God, don't go another second. I mean, stop right where you are and get it out of there. Amen. It doesn't have time to get any kind of roots started. And particularly in unforgiveness, and you get it, that seed of unforgiveness immediately starts trying to grow and create the root of bitterness. And if you get that, I'll tell you, it'll choke the word of God. It'll stop the operation of God in your life. Jesus taught about it, and he said, if it enters in, it will choke the word, and the word will become unfruitful. You can't afford that. You cannot afford that. No, no, no. Now, this is the way you partake of the high priestly ministry of Jesus. You don't run from him when you sin, you run to him. He's a merciful high priest. Remember that? He's not just just and he's not just faithful. He's merciful. Dear Lord, run to him. I ran to him one day. Oh, Lord. And I did something extremely stupid. And I repented of it. But it just kept getting heavier on me and heavier on me that afternoon. And I told him later on that afternoon, I said, I ain't going over and preach tonight. He said, why not? I mean, just that quick. If you'd have been there, you wouldn't have heard it, but I heard it. Amen. I heard it in my spirit, but it got so strong, I heard it all over me, you know. He said, why not? I said, well, you know why not? Because of what I did. He said, what you talking about? I said, what do you mean, what am I talking about? You know what I did. He said, Ken, let me tell you something. He said, when you missed it, when you sinned, he said, when you confessed that sin was not when I found out about it. He said, that's when you got rid of it. Oh, that helped me. Oh, Lord, that helped me. I mean, that grew up in me and became strong in my consciousness. And it took the shame away from between he and I. So I wasn't so quick to hide from him. Remember what Adam did? He hid from him. Don't do that. Don't hide from him. When you sin, don't run from him. Run to him. I mean, be quick to confess. Quick to own up to it. I raised my children like that, and I'd tell them, I said, now look, It says right here, if you obey your parents, you live long on the earth and you live healthy on the earth. Can you see that? And even before they could read, I'd read it to them one word at a time. And I'd say, now that word says what? And that word says what? Now what is this? Yeah. Okay. Now, if you disobey your mother or me or you do something wrong, I said, come to me about it. And I give you my word. As your daddy, I give you my word before God as a minister of the gospel. If you come to me about it, I will never, ever hurt you in any way. And if we pray over this thing and we take it to God, as far as I'm concerned, it's done and I'll never bring it up again. Okay, daddy. But now, wait a minute. I said, now there's more to this than this. I'm responsible to seeing to it that you live long on the earth and you stay well. Now, if you insist on continuing to sin, you insist on continuing to violate and dishonor your mother and my word, and you keep doing that, and you don't come repent of it, I'm going to butt in on it. I'm going to get involved because I want you living long on the earth. Now, if I have to come do that, there's a strong chance I'm liable to hurt you. I'm going to hurt you enough to get you to stop that. Okay. But what I was endeavoring to do was build that same avenue to me and to Gloria that Jesus had built for me to him so that they weren't afraid to come to me. Well, then I had to keep my word. What was I being? I was being faithful and right, being righteous to them. I won't hurt you about it. Now, we may have some business to take care of. That's important to teach your children. Amen. Now then, with that in our minds, let's go over into this area. Now, remember Romans 8:2. We read that yesterday. For the law, you notice that's a law. A law is something that works every time the same way when it's put to work according to instructions. Now you can contaminate a law and it will work a different way, or it may not work at all. Fear contaminates faith. Fear tolerated, faith contaminated. So you mess up the law of faith. But if you go by the word of God, it works 100% of the time, and it works for anybody who puts it to work. Now, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now let's back up to the first verse there. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to me if I walk after the Spirit, if I walk after that law. You see how that, instead of my flesh, you can't go by what your flesh is telling you. You can't determine whether you're forgiven or not by God or anybody else by what your flesh tells you or what your feelings tell you or by what somebody else said to you. No, you have to go by the faithfulness and the exactness and the mercifulness of Jesus, your high priest. And he will do every time exactly what he said he would do if you will do what he told you to do, which is confess the sin, believe you receive when you pray. Huh? Now you have put the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus into operation. That's what he's high priest over. He's Lord over the law of sin and death. So that law has no authority over you because you're in Christ Jesus. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in Christ Jesus. That is in him. It is in his name. It is in his word. It is in his life. It is in his anointing. It is in him, and it is in you because you are in him. Amen. So put it to work. It's available to you. He's merciful, he's faithful, and that is the law to which he's faithful. Now, are we clear on that? This is so important. You really have to get hold of this. Because he is... He is the chief executive officer and high priest of all of heaven's finance. All of his riches in glory. He is the chief executive officer and high priest. In other words, he's not only the guardian of the thing, he is... He's the one who distributes it. And you are a priest under his priesthood, and you are his financial distributor in the earth. To minister bread for the eater, seed to the sower, multiply the seed sown. That's our job. Well, we have to have some way of bridging between here and what's over there. Above that light line that's already in there. You already have a count there. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's now then. Thank you, Father. Yes. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Talking about his priesthood, let's go back to the book of Hebrews. Now that you're beginning to learn this, see, Hebrews takes you from the fundamentals of Christianity into advanced work, and it will go as far as you'll go. And it is describing and detailing his high priestly ministry. And our life in it, and his life as mediator of this covenant between God and man, Scripture said. So now, go to the 10th chapter and I'll show you something. Look at the first verse. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect or complete and mature. Grown up. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more sin consciousness. No more defeat consciousness. No more poor boy consciousness. Amen. Now, I want you to see some things out of this 6th chapter. Let's go there and notice from the 20th verse. Well, let's read down in there from the 17th verse. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or absolute impossible to change of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable, two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, a strong inner strength, an anchor, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, enters into that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies, ratified the new covenant, finished and completely, totally confirmed the old covenant, ratified the new covenant with his blood, replacing all the blood of animals beforehand, and settled it forever. Glory to God. purged our sins, the scripture said in those first two chapters of Hebrews, by himself. So we ought not have any more sin consciousness. Now, after the order, he has the same orders from God. Now I'm gonna get over into an area right here that runs in conflict with what most religious scholars say. He has the same orders from God that Melchizedek was ordered to do by God. Now, Melchizedek was ordered by God to go administer from heaven certain things where Abraham was concerned because of that first covenant. Jesus has been ordered by God to do exactly the same thing, only on a higher level, under the second. The replacement, I like that better. Under the replacement covenant. It didn't wipe out the first covenant, it wiped out the curse on the first covenant. All the promises are still there. Now, because The basic truth is the covenant now is between God, still between God and a man, but the man now is an immortal. Man can't sin. So the covenant can't be broken. Now you can violate your part of it, but you can't break the covenant. It is still intact. I don't care what you do. You can curse God and go to hell. You can't stop that covenant. He can break your fellowship with it. But the covenant is still intact, and the covenant still says, if you repent, confess the thing, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from it. Amen.
Turn right.
Imagine knowing where to go at every turn. How to find your way even if you got lost.
Make a legal U-turn.
And having the confidence that you'll reach your final destination. Most people believe God has a plan for their lives, but with so many roads to choose, how do you know if you're on the right path?
You have arrived at your destination.
In God's Master Plan for Your Life, Gloria Copeland shares 10 keys to fulfill your destiny and help you find and connect to God's perfect will. God has the answers to all of your needs, and He has a personalized plan for every area of your life.
God has a plan for you. And we're told that if we'll seek Him, we'll find it. We'll find Him, and when we find Him, we'll find it. In your personal life, the more time you spend in the Word of God, and the more time you spend talking to God, the more of your master plan you will fulfill.
Gloria's latest book will encourage and inspire you to trust God and believe Him for His plan. God's Master Plan for Your Life is available wherever books are sold. Be sure to get your copy today. Even if you've taken a wrong turn along the way,
recalculating,
God can get you back on course and put you on the right path. Discover God's Master Plan for Your Life and allow the blessing of God to change your life forever.
Gloria's brand new book, God's Master Plan for Your Life, has just been released. Praise God. And she and I are really excited about this. I have heard her talk about this, pray about this, write about this, preach about this, ever since I've known her, ever since we've been in the things of God, on God's master plan for your life. Now, you really need to get a hold of this. There's things that could take you a lifetime to learn. But with this new book of Gloria's, you can not only enjoy it, but you can pick up on it and just take off right where we are now. That's the beautiful part of this kind of thing. You can purchase your copy at bookstores everywhere. I mean, all over the country, and begin a really, really strong journey of faith. Now, today we discussed partaking of the high priestly ministry of Jesus. We are partakers of that ministry, not just because we have been qualified by Jesus to receive through it and from it, but we're joint heirs in it. We not only receive through him and from his high priestly ministry, we have become priests under him, and we have the privilege of ministering through that priestly, high priestly ministry. It is a dynamite thing, and we have to know more and more about it. We've got unlimited amount of blessing available to us through this ministry that he was raised from the dead in order to accomplish. He's Lord over sickness and disease because he defeated it, but he's high priest over healing. He's the Lord over poverty and lack, but he's high priest over financial blessing and abundance. Praise God. He is Lord over death, and he's high priest over salvation and life. I'm telling you, this just gets me wound up in a hurry. Father, I pray over our partners. I pray over everyone in the sound of my voice right now throughout this radio and television audience. Open the eyes of all of our understanding concerning your high priestly ministry of Jesus and walking in it, receiving through it, and ministering in it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next month, West Coast Believers Convention, June the 30th through July the 5th. Now, this year it's in Long Beach, California, and I'm telling you, you're really going to like these new facilities out there. It's just really first class. I want you to, you've got to get there. Get in there for the whole thing. Just totally immerse yourself in the Word of God. Jesse Duplantis, Glory in Me. Jerry Savelle is going to be there. Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore. I'm telling you, and plus, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 of your favorite friends and neighbors. Praise God. We're going to have a time, and you need to be there. Praise God. Go to KCM.org. All the information is there. See you next time. Remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a DVD or CD copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. The West Coast Believers Convention is at a new location. Come to the Long Beach Convention Center June 30th to July 5th in Long Beach, California. The Southwest Believers Convention is August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Great Lakes Believers Convention will be held August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Next Sunday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
He said, you go into all the world, you preach the gospel to every creature, you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, you cast out the devil, and I'll go with you. I will perform my word. Now that is his ministry.